For our scripture reading, we turn this morning to the book of Joshua, and we read the first chapter of the book of Joshua. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that I have given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then shalt thou make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, Pass through the host, and command the people, saying, Prepare you victuals, for within 3 days ye shall pass over this Jordan to go in to possess the land, which the Lord your God giveth you to possess it. And to the Reubenites, and to the Gadites, and to half the tribe of Manasseh spake Joshua, saying, Remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, The Lord your God hath given you rest, and hath given you this land. Your wives, your little ones, and your cattle shall remain in the land which Moses gave you on this side Jordan. But ye shall pass before your brethren armed, all the mighty men of valor, and help them, until the Lord have given your brethren rest, as he hath given you, and they also have possessed the land which the Lord your God giveth them. Then ye shall return unto the land of your possession and enjoy it, which Moses the Lord's servant gave you on this side Jordan toward the sun rising. And then answered Joshua, saying, All that thou commandest us we will do, and whithersoever thou sendest us, we will go. According as we hearkened unto Moses in all things, so will we hearken unto thee. Only the Lord thy God be with thee, as he was with Moses. Whosoever he be that doth rebel against thy commandment, and will not hearken unto thy words in all that thou commandest him, he shall be put to death. Only be strong and of a good courage. Every Sunday morning, don't we? And Sunday evening, the Lord is faithful, the Lord is good, and he's brought us into this first Sunday of this just begun new year. And there's many things that might be changing. There's many things that we might be concerned about. We heard some of that last New Year's Eve. But let us be encouraged, because God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. As we know, not know what the first, what the future will bring this first Sunday of the year, and we face these many unknowns, how we feel our need to rest in the Lord and to be encouraged by His Word this morning, don't we? How we feel our need, especially that God would come with might and power and that He would come to revive us. To revive us with power that comes from His Holy Spirit so that we can be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. That God, as we heard yesterday so beautifully, comes over all those mountains that we have made with our sins, but that He comes as that skipping row over all the impossibilities. Yes, the Lord will take care of His church. The Lord will take care of you, dear believer, this new year also. He will build His church, and the gates of hell are not going to prevail against the church because He is our rock. Children, you know what a rock is, don't you? A big boulder upon which you can stand. And God, by His grace, puts our feet upon that rock so that we can be steadfast, so that we can be safe, whatever happens around that rock. If there are waves that come against that rock, if our feet are planted safe on Jesus Christ, we have nothing to fear. He is our strong tower. The righteous flee in that tower and they will be safe. He is our strength. He is our confidence. And from that knowledge that He is our strength and that confidence that He is good and gracious and faithful and He will not leave the work of His own hands, we are going to listen to the Lord this morning as He speaks courage into our hearts for the unknown. And this morning then our text comes from the first chapter of the book of Joshua, and our verse that we hope to consider is verse 9, with the Lord's help. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. So we hear the call, be strong and courageous. And we ask the question, Lord, how can we be strong and courageous? Well, that is what this chapter is teaching us. First of all, we listen to the command of God, the commands that He give, but also the promises, as we hope to see. And then secondly, we look at His presence, because He says in our text, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. And that makes all the difference, doesn't it? When the Lord is with us, it is completely different than when we are on our own. So let us consider this. First of all, because of God's command. And our text starts with an interesting statement, don't you think? Have not I commanded thee? The answer to that question is, of course, the Lord commands us. Absolutely. It's the Lord that comes to Joshua in our text verse here, a servant Joshua and us this morning. And we know Joshua, of course, children, you know him, a man of faith and conviction. Yes, a sinner like us, saved by saving grace alone. But we know also that he was the one who clung to the word of God, don't we? When all those spies, those 10 spies came back and said, no, this is impossible to go into the promised land. Impossible. Those walls are far too high. And the enemies are far too strong. What did Joshua do? And what should we do? He trusted in the Lord and in His promises. And this is the same God who's speaking in our text. Have not I commanded you? Have not I commanded you? At that time, it was Joshua and Caleb that said, trusting in the Lord, trusting in His promises, let us go up at once, right away. For with the Lord we will possess the land and we will be able to overcome our enemies. Joshua knew the promises. We know the promises, don't we? promises that are yea and amen in Jesus Christ. There's an eternal land prepared for those who trust in him. Joshua knew the power in his soul. Do we know the power too in our soul of those promises through the Lord Jesus Christ? Do we know that God through Jesus Christ is on our side? Then what do we have to fear? What do we have to fear? Joshua had seen how the God had led them, his people, with a mighty hand out of Egypt and had made this mighty path through the Red Sea where there was no path, where everything seemed impossible, but God came. And God is still the same this morning. Joshua knew it. Do you know it too? This morning, by the grace of God, with the Lord, nothing is impossible. In our text, just as we, in this new year, Joshua is facing many unknowns. For 40 years, children, Joshua has been faithfully the assistant of Moses. And now, the Lord has been preparing him through that assisting work. And now Moses has died, and the task waiting is not a small one, because God is telling him what to do. He is saying to Joshua, Joshua, you need to bring the people into the promised land. We see that in verse 2. There, the Lord commands, arise and go over this Jordan. God commands, have not I commanded you? You need to go over the Jordan. But how? Not without God's promises. When God gives a command, and that's the first lesson that we should learn here, when God gives a command, he is the one who can supply everything that we need. And that's what he does to us through the promises. And that's what he does here as well. He says it twice in verse 2 and verse 3. I am going to give you the land. I'm going to give you the land. It's a gift. It's a gift. And so it is with the gospel too. When God says, this is what you need to do, he first also gives us the promises. And in Jesus Christ, everything is supplied in those promises. I will give you the land. And God says, and he promises to Joshua, no one will be able to stand before you. No one. And he says more, another promise. I will not fail you. I will not forsake you. I will not leave you. I will not let you go alone. Sometimes we think that, don't we? We think, am I alone? I can't do this, Lord. Is there someone here this morning? I don't know, Lord. The challenges for this year is too great. Listen to God's promises this morning. I will give you the land. I will not fail you. I will not forsake you. With all the fears, with all the unknowns of Joshua and of us, with feeling our weaknesses, God knows what we need. And he gives his promises, and he fulfills those promises, especially in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us never forget, when God comes with a command, he has promises to meet all the needs in that command. Have not I commanded you? There are challenges this year. Perhaps you look forward to certain challenges, or look up against, I should say. The future is uncertain. And we say to each other how we need the Lord this morning, in this new year. How we need grace to obey him. How we need his promises to put courage into us. We feel so weak. We feel so easily we fail. Easily we go astray. All like sheep we go astray. We so easily make wrong choices. And we feel our need, don't we, at the beginning of this new year, that the Lord would make us strong and truly direct us. We look around in our society and we can fear about the things that are happening in government, the latest bills that have been passed. Maybe you're here this morning and you look at your family and you have a cross to bear. Or maybe there are difficulties and challenges. As parents, maybe as children, you look up against things at school or at work, in the home, or as a mom, to do your work faithfully as unto the Lord. How am I going to face this all? There's so many things unknown, and my strength is weak, and I easily fail, and easily sin, and easily falter. But God comes first with His promises. Have not I commanded you? I will supply every need of yours richly in Christ Jesus. I am the Lord your God. We heard it this morning, even before we heard any command. I'm the Lord your God. I brought you out. I'm your Redeemer. I'm your Liberator. And then He gives those commands. This is a faithful God who knows that we need liberation first before we can do anything. And that is what He has supplied for us in the cross of Jesus Christ. He says it to us. If you're looking into the future and you say, well, Lord, I need strength this morning. I'm powerless. He says to you, I have commanded you, and I give you these promises so that you can meet all the challenges that you will face this coming year in your family, in our church, in our community, that you can be a light upon a hill, that you be an influence for good. When the Lord Jesus gave His promise to His children, or His command to His disciples, go and teach and preach all nations and baptize, what did He say first? And so that is what He does to us this morning too. All authority is given unto me in heaven. All authority. I've got all power that you need. And that is not all. I am with you. Lo, I'm with you till the end of the age, till the end of this world. Have not I commanded you? I, the Lord your God, I'm gracious, I'm merciful, I'm slow to anger. And in Jesus Christ, I came to give my life to save sinners just like you, just like you. I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. Come to Him. If you have never come to Him yet, come to Him with your empty hands. Come to Him with your sins. No one comes to the Father but by me. Jesus says, come to me. I'm that vine. If you need fruitfulness in your life, I'm that vine that can make you blossom. Abide in me and I in you. Let my word abide in you. You will bear much fruit. That's my promise. That's my promise. God commands, and before He commands, He gives His promises so that we can obey those commands. That makes all the difference. It's God who speaks. Have not I commanded you? He is the one who has the right to command us. Has He not? He's the living God, the Creator who has made us, and through Jesus Christ, our only hope and Redeemer. Now, not only does God promise and command Joshua to lead His people into the promised land, He commands him and us to be strong and courageous. And maybe you say, I'm so weak. God knows when you are weak. And He comes and He can give what this command says to us. Verse 7, we see it. that he commands us, only be thou strong. And then it says, very courageous and very courageous. Verse 9, he says it again, be thou strong and of good courage. And the chapter even ends with it. Be only be strong and of good courage. It's God is repeating this to us. With all the unknowns that we face, with all the challenges of life, he wants us to know this. He wants to come with this command, yes, to encourage us, be strong and of a good courage. Now, what does this mean, to be strong and of a good courage? That means that you become strong and powerful beyond what you expect is possible. In their case, it was to be strong for the battle. They had to go and conquer the promised land. In their case, in Joshua's case, it was also be strong through the word of God, as we hope to see in a moment. First time God says be strong, it is because he's just talked about the battle and all the promises that he has given. Second time he says be strong, it's because he has given his word. And he is to meditate on it. And in our case, this is still true. We face the battles of life, face the battles of the Christian life. We face our triple-headed enemy, our sins, our indwelling sins, the power of that sin that lurks in us still and can trip us up. Satan, who tempts us. The world that lures us away from Jesus Christ with all its glitter and glamour. Be strong in the battle against your sin this new year. Be strong and be of good courage. Be able to face and deal with danger. Don't fear. Whatever happens, whatever circumstances we will face this year, don't flinch. Be not afraid, neither be dismayed, it adds in our text. In other words, don't be scared. Don't be scared. Even when the unknown future should happen to frighten you, don't be downcast. Don't be discouraged when you see all that is happening in our country. It's easy to let those things all weigh you down and cripple you so that you can do nothing, that you feel shattered and demoralized by everything that is happening, or even in your life. But God says to us this morning, don't be afraid, fear not. And he says that so often in the Word of God, because he knows we are fearful. He knows it. God says it to Joshua, don't be fearful. And we see in this past year, we have seen so much of fear mongering. It is as if God says to us this morning, don't join that. You have my promises in Jesus Christ, yea and amen. You have me, the Almighty God. You have my word to trust so you can be filled with hope. With expectation through the gospel. I'm your refuge. I'm your strength. I'm your very present help in times of trouble. Spiritual strength, spiritual courage. What is it? When I prepared this sermon, I looked up Brackel. He has a whole chapter about it, actually. It's a wonderful chapter to read. He defines spiritual courage as follows. He says, spiritual strength is an undaunted steadfastness of heart given by God to his children, whereby they, while having a lively hope, receiving the promised benefits, overcome fear for all danger and opposition, unyieldingly engage in warfare, and courageously persevere in obedience toward God. Well, that's a long statement. Let me break it down. First of all, he says, it's a gift of God. God puts courage in us. It's a gift that he gives to each one of his children through the gospel. The more we cling to the gospel, the more we cry out to him in prayer, the more he gives this gift of courage. It's a gift that he gives to his children that comes alongside of faith. Now, maybe you look at those who are not regenerated and they seem to be so courageous, but they have no reason to be courageous. One day they will fear when they face the Lord God omnipotent in judgment. It's a gift that God gives when he saves us through his word. Courage is secondly not only a gift of God, it's a steadfastness of heart. It makes us calm. It makes us steady. Going on. It's a hope. What is the hope about? That God, Brackel says, will fulfill all his promises and that he will give us all the benefits of those promises. All the benefits. So that we can face our life with courage. And that we through the hope of eternal life are not taken to fearful because of what happens to us right now. We have hope. We have eternal life awaiting. The promised land. That's the promise. And then another thing that Brackel says, it's a gift of God, it's steadfastness of heart, it's hopefulness because God is going to fulfill his promises. And because of that, courage faces battles, challenges, struggles, trials, without yielding. We fight the battle against our sin, against Satan, against the world. We trust. We become strong in the Lord and the power of his might. And courage then finally perseveres in obeying God. It wants to obey. It wants to do what is right. It wants to do what God commands us and what his word says to us. Not what I like, but what is God's word saying? And that brings us also to the next part here of our text. Because we wonder, and we ask the question, how can we get courage? How can we get courage? Especially when we feel so often discouraged and so easily discouraged. Maybe some of you more than others. Boys and girls, do you think that the courage that Joshua had, that it came as the commander of the army just because of who he was, what he could do, strong, faithful. What do you think? Was that how he got courage? Just muster it up out of himself? No. Was it because he had swords? He could fight? He could defend himself. There's this sword to fight the enemies. Sure, he was going to have to use that sword. Absolutely. But that's not the reason of his courage. Was it because, well, he looked, as it were, at the map. Okay, we are going to do it this way and that way and strategize and say, okay, this is how we are going to do it. Planning how to fight the battles and being clever. Because he had a map. Sure, he sent some spies out there and probably they came back with some kind of a drawing. Maybe if we do it this way or that way. Yes, that was necessary for the battle as a commander-in-chief. But that's not where his courage came from. What was it then? It was the word of God. The word of God. His courage came from the promises of God. Joshua had his Bible. He had his Bible, and that's it. And he needed that God-given trust in the Bible and in the promises and in the Word. That's what each one of us needs this morning. That's how we can be courageous, strong in the Lord and the power of his might, Verse 8 says it, doesn't it? This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. The Lord wants Joshua and us this morning only to do one thing for this new year. Fight the battles, yes. Be courageous, yes. But how? How can we have good success? And the word that is used here is about wisdom. How can we be wise, make wise and godly decisions, come what may? How can we be those Issachars who understand our times, those sons of Issachar? How can we be able to face the issues that are around us? Well, God wants us to be a people of the book, of the Bible, who trust His word. First thing that He wants from Joshua is God wants him to speak the word of God. The law shall not depart from your mouth. Do you hear that? We're to speak about the word of God to one another, about the goodness of the Lord, about the grace of God, parents to your children. Deuteronomy 6, right? There it says that when you go by the way, and when you rise up, and when you go, wherever you go, basically, speak to your children about the Lord. Speak to them about His goodness and His grace. Dear office bearers, as we come and do our visits and continue our visits, let us speak about the Lord. Not bring our own word, but come with the word of God, because that can put courage and power in our dear flock. Only then we will prosper, as God shows here in His word. And the second thing that not only He wants Joshua and us to speak the word of God to one another, the Lord wants him to think and meditate and marinate his mind in the word of God. That's what you and I need too. Meditate. Thou shalt meditate therein day and night. That was important for him as a leader, but that's important for all of us. It's important for all of us that we meditate. Now this word means that you talk softly, that you, as it were, repeat the word quietly or with a low voice, a low whisper to yourself. You repeat the promises to yourself. What we have in the Lord Jesus Christ, you could say you mutter under your breath. And that's not just one verse a day. No, we need more than that. Just one verse a day. I mean to say not just 2 minutes and then run away from it. No, maybe you carry a verse throughout the whole day. That's wonderful, and you meditate on it. That's a good way to do it. But not just one verse in 2 minutes and then run away and forget all about it. No. God wants us to think about the Word of God, to bring it back to memories. That is meditate. And the Lord wants us to obey Him when we hear the Word of God. That's what He says too in verse 8, doesn't He? That thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. Now, obedience is not the word in a fancy word in our society, is it? It's not. Freedom is. Obedience is not what we like. But God says, no, my boundaries are good. They are gracious. They are good for you. And obey what my word says. And when we are regenerated, we want it. We want it. We want to do what God says. We don't want to offend the one who has saved us, our gracious Heavenly Father. And we want to do it because we want to show our thankfulness and our love for such love that He has given us. Obey the Word of God by the grace of God. Have I not commanded thee? Have I not commanded thee? Yes, he has commanded us, but we need more than a command. We need his promises. We need his courage. We need not just the law. The law cannot motivate us. We need the gospel. We need the Lord Jesus Christ. We need his promises to fill our hearts. And therefore, let us, dear church family, let us look to the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. What does he do? What does he promise? What does the greater Joshua say to us this morning? I have fulfilled everything that you have not fulfilled. I've got righteousness to give. I have offered myself on the cross to set you free, to bring you to the promised land. My life was perfect. In my heart and in my mind, there was the word of God constantly, perfectly. I perfectly obeyed my Father, even to the death of the cross. I bring you victory. I bring you the gift of salvation. And I will bring you all the way to the promised land where I will be, and where you will be with me, where I will be all and in all. Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Only when we fill our hearts with what he has done, only then we can be strong and courageous this morning. Only his love can move us. When we look at our captain of salvation, greater Joshua, what did he do? He set his face like a flint courageously. To do what, children? Not to go to something happily. No, to the cross. To suffer, to die, to die. He had his fears, yes, he had his fears. He cried out in that he feared. Yes, he had his godly fear, but also look at him in Gethsemane. He had his fears. He knew how terrible the cup of suffering would be. And yet, what do we see? He set his face like a flint. He was courageous. He was strong in the power of God's might, in the power of his perfect life, in the power of his soul. As we look to him, let us pray this morning for greater courage to follow in his footsteps. To follow in his footsteps so that we would share in his courage, because it is his. It's his to give. Come with your empty hands this morning. Today he still calls us. If you have no courage, come, trust me. If you have no strength, if you have only sin, come to me. I can truly deliver you from all your fears, from all your sins. I can put courage into you through the promises of God. Be strong and courageous. Let us pause for a moment and sing Psalter 305, stanzas 1 through 4. Be strong and courageous because of God's command, because of God's presence. Listen to our text again. Have I not commanded thee? Be strong and be of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. The Lord thy God with thee. That's the gospel. That's the gospel. In a few words, Emmanuel. We've just thought about that during Christmas, haven't we? God with us, Emmanuel. God for us when we look to the cross. God with us. God for us. He went to the cross to bring us back to God's very presence, to enjoy the Lord and his presence. That's the gospel. He brings us. Those who have strayed, those who have walked away, those who have sinned against the Lord so grievously. When he saves us, he brings us back into his presence. Into his presence. That's salvation. that we live before His face. God's presence, beloved, makes all the difference. When we see Him with the eyes of faith, then we can be strong. When we look at all things around us, when we look at all things in us, then we are often fearful. But when we know by faith that He visits us, that He fights the battle for us, that we enjoy His presence because of Jesus Christ, then we can be courageous. Then we can be strong. Only then. It's the marvel of the gospel, is it not? God with us. And He says, wherever you go, is there someone here who says, well, I have forsaken the Lord. I am far away from the Lord. I am not near to the Lord. He comes and seeks, and He brings back the lost sheep. He left the 99, and He searched. He's searching you this morning. He's searching you this morning through His Word. Though you have forsaken Him, God says here in His Word that He can search you out and He can bring you to Himself. And then He gives you the promise, I will never fail you. I will never forsake you. I will never leave you. And therefore, only therefore, when you have His promises, you can say this morning, the Lord is my helper. Whom shall I fear? We can boldly say that, Hebrews says, boldly. Because of the Lord. I will be with thee. I will not fail thee. I will not forsake thee. In verse 5, it says there as well, as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. Beloved, the presence of the Lord, especially the felt presence of the Lord, is one of the greatest blessings of the Lord. Yes, we need to trust God's promises, but it can be such a blessing when we are assured in our soul and in our heart that He is with us. And through the gospel and through His Word, He promises us to be with us, to never leave us, never forsake us. Christmas tells us that God wanted to come. God so loved the world that He gave His only Son. God wants to be with His people. He promises that He will come with His Holy Spirit and make our abode with you. So God promises to His people. Think about it. The God who has created you and me, the God who has everything in His hand, the Almighty God wants to come and make His dwelling place in your heart and in your soul. That's the gospel. To be with you forever. To give His promises. I will be with thee, whithersoever thou goest, wherever you go. And the Lord assured Joshua of that. The Lord assured Joshua of that when we read in chapter 5, verses 13 through 15, that God comes and meets Joshua before the battle start. God comes Himself and meets Joshua. They're heading for Jericho. They're heading for Jericho. And there is Joshua, the commander of the army. And at a certain moment, he lifts up his eye, it says, and then he sees a man come. Come with a drawn sword. Children, don't you think the fear was in his heart? Right away, there's an enemy, drawn sword. You know what he asks? Are they for us or for our adversaries? Are you for us or against us? And then he gets the answer, no or nay, it says in the King James Version. No, it can mean neither. Are you going to join our armies? He thinks it's just an earthly man. He's just an earthly man. But this man says, Joshua, I am not under your command. I'm not under your command. And then he reveals himself as that great commander in chief, the glorious God, Jesus Christ, before he became a man, before he became incarnate. He reveals himself as that glorious Lord of hosts who is in charge of all the angels, heavenly angels. Joshua, I'm not under your command, but you are under my command. You are under my command. Here, Joshua experiences something of what Moses earlier experienced, that moment that God comes to him and shows him his glory. When Moses was there at the burning bush and God spoke to him. Do you remember, children? What did God ask Moses then? Take off your shoes, off your feet, because you are on holy ground. And the same happens here. The same happens here. Humbly, Joshua asks, what saith my Lord? What saith my Lord unto his servant? Do you see that? That's the kind of posture we need for this year. Lord, what art thou saying to me? I'm thy servant. Joshua kneels. He submits himself to his Maker, to his Christ, to his Redeemer, to the Captain of salvation, to the Captain of the armies of heaven. Have we, by God's grace, come to that moment where we submit ourselves? Here am I, Lord. I'm thy servant. Captain and commander who fights the battles for us. Take off your shoes. The ground where you stand is holy ground. Oh, let us come this morning and fall and worship before Jesus Christ, who comes and tells us, I will fight the battle for you. I have. Look to my cross. Look to my grave. Look to how I rose. Look to me in heaven. I fight the battle for you. How we need that, don't we? To meet with God Himself. To meet with God here. This new year's just began. This first Sunday of the year. That we would meet with Him every Sunday. Look forward to it. To worship Him. To come to these awe-inspiring moments where we know God is with us. God is speaking with us. God is dealing with our souls. Those are the precious, most precious moments in our life. Those are the most glorious moments in our lives. When the Word comes with power and we see Christ Jesus and we see Him as the Captain of our salvation, we see what He has done. He has a sword in His hand. Yes, the sword of the Word. He comes to us with that powerful and sharp and two-edged sword that comes and pierces into our heart and divides our heart and shows us what is in our heart, but also comes with the healing balm of the gospel and speaks to us and subdues us under His feet. So that we say, Lord, here am I. I'm thy servant. Teach me. So that He makes us small in worship and He becomes great and glorious and majestic. And then we come and say, Lord, lead me. Lead me. I'm weak. I'm sinful. I go easily astray. Lead me, Lord. Lead me in thy righteousness because of my enemies. And that we enroll in His army joyfully, willingly, wholeheartedly. And that he spreads this banner, as we heard yesterday, this banner over us. It's saying love, eternal love. Don't you want to enroll under that banner? Under the one who is the commander of chief in the church, who by his word says to us this morning, trust me, worship me, obey me, love me, serve me. Let him be your all in all, your commander in chief. Let him reign in this place, in our hearts, this new year. Oh, let us depend on him in prayer every step of the new year. Then you will have good success. It might be that that you have all kinds of troubles, but then you will have good success when you come at the gates of heaven. You will have good success because the gates will swing open and you can come into that promised land. Our text says, whithersoever you go. Where are you going? Where are you going? Which road are you going? The broad road that is going to hell? Where are you going by the grace of God, because you have seen the beauty and the loveliness of Jesus Christ? You're going on that straight and narrow way. That straight and narrow way. And he goes before. He has paved it for you. You need to follow him. Follow him. Take up your cross. He is worthy of your entire life, my entire life. He calls us to be faithful, to be believing, to be trusting. And he gives what he commands, his Holy Spirit, so that we can trust, so that we can follow him. Also this new year, where are you going? Where are you going? Are you following the Lamb to Emmanuel's land? Will you stay close to the Lord? Will you hide yourself under the shadow of his wings this coming year? Will you depend on him? Will you prize his presence as nothing else in your life? Will you hide in the word of God, shelter in Jesus Christ? You know that then all kinds of things can happen, things that are impossible, challenges. Remember, children, that story of Moses before the Red Sea? I think you do, right? Before is the sea, before him is the sea, beside the mountains, behind him the enemies. Impossible. What do you do? I will go with thee whithersoever thou goest. We remember the promise. God is with us. We remember the promise. God will fight for us. We listen to his voice. We trust his salvation in Jesus Christ. And what did God say to Moses and to us through his word? Stand still. Stop for a moment. Look at me. Stand still. And now watch. Watch what I am going to do. And see the salvation of the Lord. He says that to us this morning. Stop for a moment. Stand still. Look to the cross. And see what I have done. See what I have done. What I have finished. See the salvation of the Lord. I have fought sin, Satan, and the world for you. Therefore, come, trust, be courageous, be strengthened. I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. Come to me. And you will be strong. Even when you feel your own weakness. Because it's his strength. It's him that fight for us. And if God is on our side, we might be a minority, that's fine. It's always more. We are always in a majority when God is on our side. So endure hardship. Look to Christ. Follow the lead. Be strong and courageous, and you will never be ashamed.
Amen.